Have you ever felt like you could and should be doing better in your career?
Danielle Francis can help. With her experience as a former engineer and leadership coach, she knows how to help people get back on track to success. A decade of experience helps her equip you with the skills needed for success. Danielle utilizes an understanding and compassionate coaching style. She advocated that if people were to lead with empathy instead, the world would see more peace. No matter what success looks like to you, she can help guide you there. Please welcome our guest, Danielle Francis.
This is a Touchstone Publishers presentation, your trusted source of leadership
knowledge. Hey, good morning, Barb. Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, Glenn, to myself. And everybody knows the rules. It's morning time, no matter what time of day you listen to this. Morning's where you find your best energy. So this, no matter what time of day it is. So good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Great. You guys learn quick. That's good. Danielle, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to share your knowledge and help us create solutions for our teams here. I wanted to ask you right off the bat, though, what is it about you or your business that most people, when they look at your website or they know you, they miss? They need to know that it's just not out there. What would you say that is that they need to know about you or your business that they just don't know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say thank you so much, Glenn, for having me. And I think the one thing that people miss is that they think coaching is only for like turmoil when you're like having big issues or when you're an executive, whereas like coaching can happen at any time and anytime, whenever it is that you have a goal that you're looking to achieve, whether it's related to your personal life or your professional life, you can use coaching at any time in your life.
I love that. As a coach myself, I can't agree more. There's a lot of misconceptions about the industry, but it really is, a coach just gets you farther than you would go on your own. And so, yeah, I can appreciate how you outlined that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people, when they think of coaching, it's like just plain old like life coaching, executive coaching, but there's a lot more that coaches do to support you along your journey and help you get there faster.
You know what I was curious about? When you're coaching, you start out coaching engineers, right?
Yeah.
Different breed of person. Tell us about that.
Yes. So because my background is in engineering, I often had engineers coming to me. And so I continue with that. And I think with engineers, and one of the reasons why they were drawn to me is because sometimes coaching, those who think of coaching, it's like this woo type of experience. And really with coaching, it can be grounded. And the type, a lot of times with the engineers that I work with, I come from a practical aim because that's what they're more accustomed to. And just meet them where they are, read the room, and help them get beyond the scientific method that they're accustomed to.
I like that. I saw that on your website that you do coaching for structured thinkers. So yes. Tell us, like, what in your mind, what's the definition of a structured thinker?
Someone who thinks in terms of methodologies, processes. So it's not just engineers, like even consultants, they have a framework for everything. I've also like coached doctors and lawyers. So there's always some type of process that you follow versus being more like tapping into your creativity and innovation. So those who are structured thinkers typically are a bit more challenged, at least in the individual problem solving time.
Well, coach us up on that a little bit. How do we move that structured thinking, that engineer type of thinking, into the type of thinking it takes to solve problems and solve challenges and create goals? How do you do that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I like to do when I'm working with my clients is ask them to zoom out a bit. I'll literally say, what does the fly on the wall observe? And from that perspective, you cannot just see from your own eyes. You can think of it as if you are a fly on the wall, a balloon up in the air, looking down at you and the other parties. And a lot of that goes back to starting with empathy. One area that I've also worked with is like design thinking. And the first step in design thinking, like human-centered design, is empathy. And that's all about creativity, innovation, and the very first step is empathy. So with my like structured thinkers that I'm working with, I ask them to zoom out a bit so that they can start like empathizing with the situation as well as all the parties involved.
Is that hard for them when you lead with that? Because it's so maybe counter to their natural way they process information. And do you get a lot of resistance with that up front?
It's not usually something that happens in the first couple of sessions. Okay. But when it does, I just see people go, sit back. And like, really, because it's like, oh, I never thought of that. So it's not so much a resistance as much as, yeah, that's another way to look at it and gain another perspective on my behavior, as well as how others may be feeling about the situation. Not so much resistance, more it's like it's an awakening.
Okay.
Okay. So now you mentioned on your website and other places about the DEI in culture. First thing, what does that mean? And how different is that than working with some of your clients who are not in an engineering process? What is the DEI in culture? What is that?
Yeah, so like diversity, equity, and inclusion. So right now there's been a big awareness, big push for initiatives, and especially like in the United States, as well as like other countries around the world. And it's creating a culture. It's not just something that you say, oh yes, we're going to have DE&I initiatives. It's part of your recruitment strategies. It's a part of the way that you relate and connect with your employees. It's the processes that you put in place. It's the communication that you have amongst your team. So when we approach DE&I, we like to have more of a structured framework, not just coaching. And we partner with companies to figure out, okay, what exactly is the problem? Is it communication-based? Or is it like you're trying to recruit talent? So it's a two-way street working with the company so that they can have the processes, the structure, and then the employees can actually feel empowered to speak up and have a seat at the table.
I'm a huge fan. I love that. I love the way you framed that it's becoming part of the culture, and for a good reason, and it needs to be. Do you find, if you are working at, and I don't know, maybe I should back up. I don't know if you work primarily with one-on-one individual coaching or if you're coming in and doing corporate training, but maybe this may sound devil's advocate and I don't mean it to be, but do you find with structured thinkers, because the thing, and I come from finance, so I can consider myself in that boat too. Is there a rigidity where they don't see DEI initiatives as a creative solution, or is that, I don't want to say a harder sell, because I don't mean to frame it up like it's not important. It needs to be just the way we do work. But do you see in the structured spaces that's more difficult to embody that in those departments?
Yes. Okay. And I think from a corporate level, what you just said, this is the way we do work, where they think, oh, this is already working. We have DE&I, we have people of color already in our corporations, and they're looking at it from a percentage standpoint. Yes,
oh, you have sure.
But yeah. Is it working? And part of we say like DE&I, and it goes beyond just like what you see when you look at someone. It's their background. Their the personal culture, the way that they think, what they have like been studying, their career, because all of that contributes to innovation and like creativity. Yes. And great problem solving in the office space. So 100%, thank you for being devil's advocate, because yeah, a lot of times like, oh yeah, we're already doing this, but are you really?
Yes, and it's very easy to look at percentages or data, but it really gets put to the test when you're in a room and I think differently, or I solve a problem differently. And is that accepted? Or that's the part of inclusion, right? Mm-hmm. It's different methods of thinking, the way we see problems. And so I don't know how you measure that.
Yeah. One of the things that we do with companies is like when we go in, whether we work on three areas where we do performance, balance, and DE&I. And when we go in, we try to determine like, what is your goal? so that we can set some like KPIs and benchmarks. So at the end of the program, we can try to measure, as well as continuously long going, because sometimes it takes longer than like 3 months, 6 months to get mm-hmm. to it. But yes, like how do you measure innovation? How do you measure people having a seat at the table? And one specific example, where I was doing one-on-one coaching with a person that reported into the C-suite and had a seat at the table. She was definitely one of these alternative thinkers. And because she was being pushed back, she finally just decided to take a step down. And I was like, I love the company, but this is too much on my mental health to have be constantly being pushed back by those who are more, they think the same way. So there are ways to measure. A lot of time it's in, if we're talking about performance, how many people are being promoted, or even if we can look at aggregate levels of performance reviews, the numbers and ratings, and like those type of number-based measurements to determine what, if we're meeting the goal and what needs to change.
You mentioned the numbers, and I'm thinking about the lawsuit right now that the National Football League here in the U.S. is going through, where they had this program where they're supposed to start hiring and making sure that every club, when they had to hire coaches, they interviewed people of color. And so they were still making the numbers. We were interviewing this many people. But it turns out after the last 10 years of doing this, they realized that if they do hire a coach of color, they let them go quicker. They doesn't get as much time as the other coach. And most of the time they're just interviewing so they make the numbers. That is culture. That's got to be pretty hard to do. But also, if we play the other side of the fence, there's a thing about being safe. And sometimes we don't want to change our culture because we don't feel it's safe. And I'm just wondering, when you're doing a workshop, I know you do workshop and personal trainings and things like that, but I'm just wondering, what's your game plan to help coaches feel safe in making this change?
Yeah, I think part of the thing you have to address is, why don't they feel safe? Do you not feel safe because you're up against change? Do you not feel safe because you think you may lose your job, your position, your rank, your power? So those are the type of conversations that's often had in one-on-one coaching. So depending on like the program, we offer workshops, which is more of a collective, and there's certain things people won't say. But I think one of the many, I almost want to say like blessings, or one of the great things I love about coaching is that in one-on-one, we get to hear the inner thoughts of people. And that's where you can really start helping people get a different perspective on why don't you feel safe. So in a group, people don't feel comfortable being that vulnerable and saying that. But in the workshops, we try to give examples. We try to put different perspectives out there so that when they go into the one-on-one, it piques their interest and they bring it up with their coach and can talk about that in a safe space versus in a group and collective where they say, bring your whole self to work, but there are thoughts that you may not actually want to share because it's going against tradition. It's going against the change that we're seeing in our countries.
And that's the lack of safety there. You don't want to bring up the thought because, like the example you use, she eventually had to step down because it's getting too beaten up by it.
Yeah, exactly.
So how does that play into something that you've said, not while we've been speaking, but just some of your writing? It, inclusion is a two-way street. I love that statement. What does that look like in practice? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's part of the culture that I was talking about earlier. So the company having the mechanisms in place, as well as the leadership and managers creating an environment where their teams feel comfortable to speak up. And then us as individuals, us as employees, having the strength to speak up when we're in these, when we have the seat at the table, to not just sit here and be silent, but to actually speak up. And in the workshops that we do, we talk about confidence and feeling comfortable sharing your ideas, asking questions, because so many times across various roles and positions, I hear people say, yeah, but what if that's not a good question? That's why I don't say it. Or what if I put my idea out there and people think it's bad? So gaining that confidence within as an individual to share your ideas, to play devil's advocate mm-hmm. in a group setting, and so that you can get the visibility that is required to influence others and climb the ladder if that is your choice. But two-way street, meaning the company has the structure and mechanisms in place, and then the employees have to speak up.
Double-edged question for you. How do you build the confidence so they feel safe from speaking up? And what's the number one thing that you're going to do to give companies that systems or knowledge they have to include DEI in their work?
Yeah. So for the companies, it's not just talking to or having workshops at the level of, let's say, like middle managers. It has to go to the top. So when we're working with the HR teams, and if they want DEI specific type programs, we try to have conversations of who can we have these workshops with? Who can we do like executive coaching if you really want the results? Of course, at the end of the day, it's not our choice, but we can tell them the best way to reach this result and outcome that you've defined is that we have to start creating a culture, changing perspectives at the top, and having like workshops or just like open forums for the executives to have like quick conversations, because with executives, the time is very precious, and then executive coaching with them. And in terms of the confidence, one of the things that surprises people about leadership coaching, workplace coaching, is that it always encompasses some level of life coaching. And confidence varies for different reasons. It could be because people question how smart they are, or it could be because they immigrated from a different country. These are some of the examples that I've experienced, and they are doubting their English or just holding on so tight to the job that they don't want to go back to where they come from. Or it could just be from like just childhood and real having as a coach. It's not therapy, but we do sometimes just use the past as a reference and say like, what differs now than where you were then? And how can you learn from it? So those are the type of questions and confidence challenges that I've seen. So it's working on that. So pinpointing it and then working on it.
Okay. Wow.
It all takes time, and building confidence, helping people release limiting beliefs, all of that takes time. But then again, so does influencing the culture from the top down. So I liken it to the baby steps of for someone who is in the position of trying to be heard and advance in their organization, and they're being met with maybe a less inclusive response, they don't have to figure it all out in the first step, because it takes time for the company to shift. And they can slowly shift with it. And every little step, just take a little opportunity. So I don't know if you see that happening a lot, where both are moving in parallel, or even you said that you come in and ask what the goals are of the organization and you start there. Do you see a common theme that is a goal that's happening? Like, you're hearing the same thing over and over again. That kind of gives us a pulse of what's happening across industries. Do you see common goals?
Yes. One common goal that we see is trying to get like more people of color in management. Mm-hmm. So that's been like one of the trends that have come up. And that also like plays into the culture of why isn't this the case now? But it's great that we're doing this, but what has been preventing that? So we have to have some of these type of conversations with the organization to understand their history, where they've come from, and decide, okay, what's the best way to get to this? Is it a recruitment? Mm-hmm. Or is it knowledge within the company? Is there like lack of interest? Various reasons, but that's been the big trend. And what you said about time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes quite a bit of time, because sometimes, especially dealing with DE&I, there's a lot of sensitivity. this is just like how we do it. We're working, like we are already inclusive. And I think often the people who feel it most are the individual contributors, those who are trying to climb the ladder. And even for them, they have to learn how to make their voice be heard and learn how to influence in a structure that may be moving slower than they are as they're learning these skills.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say, oh yeah, just, we're going to make it more inclusive. We're going to put the structure in. And like, even me, I recognize that it takes time to do it. And it may not be as easy as said as done.
I want to ask out there question, why? Why would any organization be interested in DE&I or any organization interested in changing the process of thinking and problem solving? Why?
Their bottom line. And it goes back to some of the work that I've done in design thinking and human-centered design. If you want to be innovative, competitive, you want the best services, you want the best products. And the way to do that is to have a team of diverse thinkers. And the way people think varies on their background, their culture, how they were brought up, what they've studied. And you don't want a group of people that think the same way, because you're just going to get just one simple solution versus having this iterative process of people going back and forth and challenging one another. So that's what's in it for the companies, their stakeholders, their investors, their customers. They get better innovation. They stay competitive. So I worked quite a bit in industry before becoming a coach. So I still think as well in the terms of economics and things along those lines, like business profits. So that's what's in it for the companies. It's those are the people, those are the companies that survive, that have creativity and innovation, and you need diversity to do that.
It reminds me of an old quote or a saying, if you have five of you in the room and all of you agree, four of you are unnecessary.
Absolutely.
That's one of my favorites.
I don't know if I like that or not, but okay. Okay, I can go with that one. What are you doing right now to help others? What are you doing? What are you bringing to the table right now to help others get better at all this?
Yes, I think when I'm working one-on-one with clients, so many times what they say is just, it's so glad just to get it out. I don't have anyone who just, I can just talk to because my boss, it's biased. And then sometimes it's just running in the hamster wheel in my mind. So I think what I offer the most is an ear that allows people to just get out whatever it is that they're thinking so that they can have a little bit of peace of mind and have someone who can help change their perspective on the hurdle that's in front of them.
Okay. What about your workshops? Tell me how those are progressing. How many do you do? Do you have different types that you do, or do you have just one that you focus on?
Yes. Yeah. We do several different types of workshops, and it's not just me. It's, we have a team of people who do them for the company. And in terms of the organization, so some organizations just want straight coaching, not necessarily workshops because they have other partners. But if we do a program, let's say around performance or around balance, there's a lot of workshops that we will give around becoming a leader. So emotional intelligence are some of the things we discuss, giving and receiving feedback, managing and preventing burnout, how to communicate with your team. So it depends on the program. So the workshops are structured in a way that help the, that gives like knowledge in like a teaching learning way. And then the coaches can go back to their coach and talk and discuss it one-on-one based on a different perspective that they've gained from the workshop or based on a specific situation. So the workshops we give vary based on the company, the program that we're working towards.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Danielle, just as we wrap up, it's been lovely talking to you today, but what is it that we didn't ask you that you wished we would have? What did we miss?
Oh, that's a good question. What did you miss? I guess perhaps why coaching at all, and particularly like why be coached?
Yeah. I was just gonna say, because I know from both of us, why coaching sometimes is a great question. So why be coached? Why coaching? I agree with that.
Yeah.
So what's the answer?
Absolutely. So why coaching? Because of, if you set the bar high for yourself, sometimes you need a little help to get there and to get there faster. And coaching is a way to shorten the learning curve. And why be coached in particular? Because we partner with you. We are a boutique coaching firm that is trained and also has coaches who are past industry professionals themselves who can really help you get to that bar in a shorter time frame and challenge the way that you think. And what we talked about earlier with those programs, we really are focused on helping the individual as well as helping the company get to their goals. But coaching is a way to shorten the lead time to get to where you're going. So that's why coaching, and that's why be coach.
Perfect. Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Great answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep them coming. Any more? Yeah, I'm ready.
You are teed up, ready to go. I do have one other. Normally, that's our last question for you to tell us what we missed. Something that I saw on your website and saw in some of the show notes. Why don't we have common sense at work?
Yes. Why don't we have common sense? Because we're like walking around with our heads focused, this heads down, and we're not seeing like what's in front of us. It's what I mentioned like earlier on, like zooming out to see.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we're too focused that we can't see the trees from the forest that's in front of us. So that's why we don't have common sense. We're too focused on us. We're thinking that we're the only reason why someone is like mad, but in reality, they have a whole life going on. And so we put so much focus on the smaller things rather than zooming out.
Boy, absolutely appreciate those answers. Appreciate you taking the time. I know the time of the year where things get in the way of our jobs, like family, and we have things to do. So I appreciate you taking the time. Barb, any concluding comments there?
It's been a delight getting to know you and talking to you. And that last scene that you described, I've been there many times over. I recognize myself in a lot of what you're saying. And it's worth investing the time and money to think differently and see differently and get farther faster. So I thank you for the ways that you're helping so many people do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Glenn. It's been a pleasure to be here with you both today and to just chat and get to know you both. And I'm excited to see what comes.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Thank you very much. Hang in there with us for a moment. We're going to chat and we'll get right back to you in the green room. So hang in there with us, if you will. Barb, this morning when we were doing our pre-call, we were talking about creating solutions.
Yes.
And having solutions. That's what I was talking about. Just, okay, here's someone who came on board with us to share. Okay, here, we got to fix this diversity and education and inclusion. And here's the first thing we need to do. She gave solutions.
I think having a structured thinking past.
Yeah.
Helps.
A past? Or
she can bring it in a way that is programmatic and is something that can be followed. But she also, you can see, has the insight into influencing thinking at the same time. It's not just check this box, do this task. It's also elevated thinking. And she's blended both of them together really nicely. So I can imagine as she's working within corporations, a lot of aha moments are going on in the room.
Yeah. And if you remember, and I hope listeners remember when she said, when we're doing our training sessions, our coaching sessions, oftentimes it's just allowing that other person to speak. So they build up and saying, okay, here's what's going on. And I'm glad I finally get to say it. But maybe when they say it and it comes out of their mouth for the first time, they say it to somebody, that's so dumb. I can go talk to somebody else about that.
Yeah.
And go talk to that. So I think that's a very important part, because I do believe the structured thinker may not be so willing to share thoughts like that.
And even if you want to take the difference between introvert and extrovert, I don't like boxes myself. Yeah. And those are spectrums. They're not either or. But I tend to be more on the introverted side of things, where I'm an internal processor. And I've been astonished where, when I've been coached or mentored, having somebody ask a particular thought-provoking question and having me process it out loud reveals thoughts and beliefs that were under the surface that I would have never identified on my own.
Yes. Yeah. And her ability to see the weakness in us.
Yes.
And like she said, get another set of eyes on it, or the fly on the wall. I like that analogy quite a little bit. If you draw back and look at the whole thing, you can detach yourself from it a little bit and get a better view of those type of things.
Yeah.
Before I forget about it, I want to make sure, because you and I haven't put all the puzzle pieces together, but we're on a new channel now.
Yeah.
So I want to ask everyone to help us out by just quickly liking the video, so we can get this out a little bit better. But we're on a new channel. We're going to work together on these things. And I also would like to ask you, if you put in the comments, you and I are planning on doing some joint teaching together.
Yes.
What's the first subject we should talk about? I think the first subject we should talk about is what Danielle just talked about. At least right now. Oh. I may change my mind a little bit later, but just, I think that's a good first, good thing to teach on and get some good solutions based.
And the root of it, the root of what causes the issue when unsolved creates a whole lot of other issues: burnout, increased resignation, increased quiet quitting, increased just disillusionment, even in the workplace, which our work and our lives are more intertwined than they ever were. And so I think anytime we can teach on what's at the root of something and give real practical solutions, then yeah, it's a win for everybody.
Yeah, and that's what I enjoyed about today's session. We got real practical advice, real practical wins, and we can walk away with those things.
Yeah.
Okay, we're pretty close to on time again. I don't know how we managed to do that. But okay, so in this particular case, I'm going to go ahead and end it. Everybody, please subscribe to the new channels. And we will thank Danielle offline. I hope she's still waiting for us in our green room.
Right.
But it's been a great time, and we will see you next.
See you next time.
Okay.
This is a Touchstone Publishers presentation, your trusted source of leadership knowledge.